भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी आशातदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि श्री गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
सभी लोग
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
राम
हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
कृष्ण महामंत्र की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कुंज भैरव शिष्य गौर नेताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टुडे। We are doing part two, isn't it, of the basics of the Bhagavad Gita. So, basics of Bhakti Yoga, basics of Bhakti Yoga. Some of the basic activities of Bhakti Yoga we saw in the last class. I will show you, this is a Vaishnava etiquette manual which we have uploaded for all of you. Where is it uploaded? In game, in our game website, game.adishamdas.com. Reference material. In the reference material you will get it. The Manual of Vedic Etiquette and Lifestyle, published from the Radha Gopinath Temple. So, last time I will show you which one we covered. We covered this one, part 1. Smartavyam Satatam Vishnum Smartavyam Najatu Chit. Always remember Krishna, never forget Him. That's the essence. In order for us to be able to remember Krishna always, and not forget Him, there are various rules and regulations prescribed. Some of you are educated people. You may wonder sometimes, why there are so many rituals? You know, does God demand all these things? Can't we just, you know, express our heart to Him, devotion to Him? Why there are so many rules? We should know that these rules and regulations are prescribed in order to enhance the devotion in our heart. For example, on your birthday or something, people come and give you gifts. You may say, just express your affection for me enough by saying few words. Still, when they give you a gift, you accept it. Because we express our affection by giving gifts and receiving gifts, giving prasadam, receiving prasad, isn't it? Opening our heart in confidence and hearing others in confidence. So, same way, when we are dealing with the Lord, you know, going to the temple, bowing down to Him, praying to Him, circumambulating Him, offering some fruits or flowers to Him, these type of rituals are used as a medium to express our love for Him. Just like somebody gives a flower bouquet to you when you go to a meeting. So the flower bouquet becomes a medium to express their respect and affection for you when you go to the meeting. Somebody may say, what is so great about flower bouquet? You know, morning you get a fresh one and afternoon it gets just dried up. Why should they make a show? Just they can just say, hi, you know, we are welcome. But the flower bouquet actually is a way to express their respect and affection for you. Similarly, all these different rules we are learning, we should not consider them laborious, because you will see modern man is filling up his time by playing gambling, going to gambling casinos, or he is going to, I mean, he drinks, he smokes, he gets into various bad activities because he is filling up his time with not only useless activities, but harmful activities also. On the contrary, the Vaishnava philosophy teaches us to engage in not only some activity, but the activities which will enhance the sweet relationship between Vaishnavas and the sweet relationship between Lord and the devotee. Titikshaya, Karunaya, Maitreya, Chakila Jantushu, Samatvena cha sarvatma bhagavan samprasidati. Those who are elder ones, senior ones, they should, you know, when they correct the junior ones should tolerate, knowing that they are saying for my good. Titikshaya, learn to tolerate. Karunaya, and how should the senior ones deal with the junior ones? Karunaya, very mercifully. They should deal with them very kindly, mercifully. Not that Shastras tell you that you should be titikshaya, you should tolerate what I am chastising you, so I will chastise. No. They should try to deal with them mercifully. The juniors know that they generally deal with me mercifully, but in case they correct me, I should tolerate. Maitreya, with all other living beings, be friendly. Don't create any enmity with anyone. Cha akila jantushu, with all living entities, samatvena cha sarvatma, Bhagavan, samprasidati. If you treat all living beings with respect and equally, then Lord Krishna, Lord Hari will be pleased with you. So, in this way, the right etiquettes are taught in dealing with different living entities in this world. Same way, now we are talking about dealing with the Lord. Last time we discussed about being humble, offering obeisances, meditating upon the deity, sitting in front of deity, how to sit, how to talk, and the dress and appearance also we completed last time. Tilaka, how to wear tilaka, what type of hair to keep, and then kantimala and mustache and beard, all that we covered. Now today, we will cover this one, cleanliness and hygiene, general behavior, attending class and attending aarti, and honoring Mahaprasad or Nirmalya. That we will cover today, okay? Page number 10. So this is a part of the Gita for All Medici, Vaishnava etiquette section. The last few weeks we have been doing it because not only we should learn the philosophy of Gita, but we should also learn the practical application. So we are, this is a part of our course. Okay, let's go to the cleanliness and hygiene. Oh, sorry. Can read, Prabhu, yeah.
Cleanliness and hygiene. As mentioned earlier, fresh clothes must be worn in the temple. After
one... Yeah, fresh clothes must be worn. So this is unknown to many people. Many times college students, they wear the same shirt 10-12 times. They just come back from the college, they remove it and keep it in a hanger. And then again they wear it. Again they put it back. When they see that the shirt is now practically stinking with a lot of sweat, then only they wash. Some of them wear the jeans 6 months at a stretch, repeatedly wear the same thing over and over again. So that is not allowed for a devotee. A devotee should wear fresh clothes every day, which means we should only use washed clothes. Washed and dried and nicely folded and kept, then you take it and every morning we wear a fresh kurta, fresh dhoti. Why? Because we are wearing for whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure. So, when the gopas and gopis were coming to Nandotsav festival, they all dressed very beautifully. The covered men were dressed with very nice kurtas, very nice turbans. Similarly, the gopis were dressed with very nice saris and ornaments. Earrings and everything, because they all knew we are going for Krishna's appearance day festival, Nandotsav, and it's a very great festival in the home of Nanda Yashoda. So they all went in the best of the dresses and very neat. And it is not like in the modern times you find sometimes people wear jig-jig-jig-jig-jig dress like this to, you know, like a glittering dress to attract everybody. Not like that. Everybody wore very decent, very nice looking, which reminds one another of Krishna. So we also should wear fresh clothes when we come in the temple hall in the morning, and therefore we have to be careful to wash the clothes in time and keep the clothes fresh. Just like if you are eating in a plate, the plate becomes, you know, juta, we call it. It has to be washed before you eat for the next time. Correct, no? Is there anybody who will eat the plate and allow it to be dry again? You will eat in the same plate? You won't. Same with dress also. Once I wear the dress, it is in my body, then it cannot be worn again. And sometimes you are wearing dress in the daytime, you take a bath. Then you remove the dress, keep it. After bathing, you can wear the same dress again. But if you are wearing the dress night we have slept, and sweat and everything has come in the dress, then again you can't wear it next day. Correct? No? Therefore, we always wash the clothes and wear fresh clothes in the temple. Next one.
After one takes prasadam, the area where the plates was kept must be cleared. One should not step over the area where prasadam was taken, because it is considered contaminated. The place where we take prasadam becomes contaminated, and if one steps on that spot, then feet must be washed. The place where the prasadam has been taken must be cleaned right after
the prasadam has been taken. Yeah, because the temple must be very clean.
We should be careful that we do not unnecessarily contaminate the temple.
Yeah. So now earlier the talk was about the clothes that we wear. So fresh cloth not only means you have to wash it and then wear, it also means the cloth has to be clean, because the talk is going on about cleanliness, is unhygiene, isn't it? So the clean means what? Like Srila Prabhupada said in America, the boys and girls in the early days, they used to have long, you know, those who are coming for the program, the boys used to have long beard, long mustache, long hair, unkempt hair, and their dresses would be stinking dress and everything. But later on Prabhupada saw, when they became devotees, they clean shaved, beard, mustache and hair, they clean shaved, wore a beautiful tilak on their forehead, wore neck beads and had japa beads, and wore dhoti kurta, neat and clean. So Prabhupada looked at them and said, you see, earlier you were all like Dharavesh. Dharavesh means with a bearded man, ugly looking, stinking man. Now you all look like men who have descended from Vaikuntha, like the Prabhupada said. You look very clean, neat. Similarly, we have seen our devotees when they come in white and white, they look like effulgent. One professor in America commented, Swamiji, how is it that your disciples look very bright faced? There is some effulgence coming from the your faces of your devotees. The men and women are so cheerful and they look very bright. And Prabhupada said, see, they eat only sattvic prasadam. And they are always chanting and dancing. So the more you engage in devotional activities, and eventually you become innocent like a child, and you wear clean dress, you are taught how to keep clean thoughts, clean speech, clean actions, clean in money habits, which means no gambling and no bribe, no looting, cheating, honorably earn the money. So that means clean in money earning habits also, clean in the dress also, clean in speech, nobody uses any vulgar language, similarly clean in thoughts, keeping the room also clean, not cluttered with paper and sand and everything. Sometimes you go to your hostel, you find the students sleep with their shoes on, and they walk with their shoes all over the room everywhere. So your devotees are taught to keep everything, a place for everything and everything in its place. Very neat and clean. So in the same manner, the clothes not only should be washed and worn, it should also be clean looking. And sometimes you find the dhoti kurta, a person has not applied soap. He just dipped it in water, squeezed it and put it, and it is very dirty. It looks very dirty. Or sometimes the bead bag also. Once His Holiness Jayadutt Swami Maharaj came to Pune, he saw some bead bags hanging on the wall, and they were very dirty bead bags. So Maharaj looked at them and said, why is this rat hanging here? Like that he asked. It looks like a rat. Looks so ugly, he was telling. So then he said, you have to wash it. You should keep your bead bag neat and clean. You should wear your clean clothes. Will anybody wear a dirty looking cloth and go to company? You know that you have to be neat when you go to company. Same way, when you come in front of the Lord, we should wear fresh clean clothes and go. When I went to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple, one of the times, on that day I saw one very nicely dressed devotee in white dhoti, white kurta. It was like lightning, clean white, and then he was having a bead bag also, which was neatly washed, clean white. And when I saw that, I immediately developed a desire that I also want to wear fresh clothes like this. How elegant they look, like effulgent. Sometimes you see such white clothes only for some advertisement, like surf or something. So we have to actually wear, because we are coming in front of the Lord, wear very nicely. So the clothes should be clean and it should be freshly washed clothes, washed and dried, you should wear. Now the second point was about prasadam area. There are many rules to be followed in the prasadam, because prasadam is mercy of the Lord. So that the food which is offered to Krishna and taken, it is a very highly holy thing, just like Ganga is holy. Just like Hare Krishna Mahamantra is holy. The deities are holy. Similarly, prasadam is also holy. If you are eating in one place and then people are walking over the rice particles or dal particles, it is very offensive. People should not put their feet over that. Not only it makes them feel uneasy and it is unclean, but it is also putting foot on a holy thing is not proper. So therefore, the habit of proper Vaishnavas is, as soon as one pankti of devotees have eaten, immediately throw water, wipe or clean the place completely. So and then dry it, put on a fan, then the next batch will sit. That's ideal standard. Nobody should be allowed to step over the area where prasadam was taken. By mistake, if their feet touches rice or dal particle, immediately they should go and wash it. They should not walk with it everywhere all around. So this way the temple must be clean. One day in Sri Radha Gopinath temple, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, they both were walking in the veranda like this, they were proceeding ahead. And devotees were all sitting and eating khichdi after the Sunday feast program. So suddenly they both stopped at one place because some substantial amount of khichdi was fallen on the way. So how to cross over prasad, and we should not put our foot over prasad. So both swamis stood like that. Then Maharaj immediately called his Gauranga Prabhu and said, "What is this?" He said, "Maharaj, khichdi." He said, "Yes, khichdi, remove it immediately." Then he called one servant and they removed it immediately. And Maharaj said, "See, we should keep this entire veranda clean." "But Maharaj, everybody is taking prasad now, it's falling." He said, Maharaj said, "As soon as they finish prasad, it should be cleaned immediately. One should not leave it for even some time." So my special master used to be very strong about cleanliness. Another story comes to my mind. Once he was telling all of us brahmacharis that your brahmachari hall where you hold the classes, it is not very clean, because you are keeping some clothes, you are keeping books, you are dumping so many things in corner and putting a cloth over it. And the floor is also not neatly swept. So he had told us to clean it, but devotees were somehow delaying it. One day suddenly, when all of us had gone down for prasadam, one brahmachari came running and complaining to us that, "Hey, Maharaj himself is taking a broomstick in the hand and sweeping the ashram." Immediately everybody put their prasadam plate down and ran up. Whole ashram ran up. Everybody went, and we saw Maharaj along with one more vanaprastha devotee. In those days he was there in our ashram, one vanaprastha devotee. Maharaj gave him one sweeper and he took one and they were sweeping. So Brahmacharya said, Maharaj, please give it us, we will do it." Maharaj said, "You say you will do it, but you never did it. When I told you to do, you never cleaned. Therefore, I decided we both will clean today." He was not ready to give, he was still sweeping. And devotees learned a good lesson. Everybody was very pained to see. And some devotees want to take photo. Maharaj said, "This is what you will do. If I take a broomstick, we will bring a camera. I am not doing this for a camera." Maharaj said, "You guys didn't do it, so I am doing it." So, therefore, he taught us that you have to keep it clean, otherwise I will come and clean it. So, whether it be ashram, whether it be prasadam area, whether it be clothes that we wear, it has to be clean.
One should not enter the temple hall without having washed one's hand and feet after eating.
Yes.
One should enter the
temple with clean hands and feet. One should take bath after passing stool and only then enter the temple hall.
Some people may not be aware of this. According to Shastra, when we pass stool, the whole body becomes contaminated. So therefore, one should, like for example, the early morning when one wakes up, one gargles the mouth and then spits the water, and then one passes stool and urine. And then one brushes the teeth. And then one takes the bath, shower. Then you come out And when you are wearing the wet cloth in the body, one should not wear tilak along with that. One should put on the dress first and then wear the tilak. Yeah. So this is the order in which one should do things. Because when we pass tul and urine, the body gets contaminated. And after that one should take bath. And in case in the daytime one passes again, one goes for passing stool again, then one should take a bath. That's ideal. To keep one's body always clean. And if one has to enter the temple hall, one shouldn't pass stool and directly and come to the temple hall. It is unclean body. Yeah. Go ahead.
One should not enter the temple after visiting a crematorium or after touching a dead body. One must first take proper bath and then enter.
Yeah, if one goes to any home where somebody has died, or one goes to crematorium, as soon as one returns back, one should go straight to the bathroom. Take a direct shower of the entire clothes. The clothes, every square inch of the clothes should be thoroughly washed in water. Everything you carry, everything should be washed completely. When we go to, because going and for such a program in the crematorium, giving a send-off to a passed away devotee, when you return back, it is considered a very unclean place, crematorium. So one should, or we touch a dead body. From a hygiene point of view also, it is not good. From a religious point of view also, there are directions like this, that one should take a bath. One shouldn't enter the temple directly. Yeah, go ahead.
One should not pass air or belch within the temple.
Belch means like that. That is belch, no? So, one should not, actually one should be a little hesitant to do such a thing. Imagine there is a Bhagavatam class, everybody is sitting, like that you do. Then what happens? Everybody is disturbed, isn't it? So then one can go out and do up and come back. Correct, no? Or similarly, one should not pass air in the temple, which means that lordships are watching, we are standing in front of them. If you pass some foul air and everybody around is disturbed, so somebody may ask, but what to do if one has to pass air? Okay, one can just go out just for 2-3 minutes and come back. Pass air and come back. So in this way, a Vaishnava doesn't want to give any trouble to any living entity. That is the whole idea. At the same time, the temple is a holy place. We don't come and... It's a pure place. We should not putrefy it. We should not make it impure by such activity. Of course, if one's eating habits are very proper, then one will not have to do all these things in the temple. Yeah, go ahead.
One should avoid putting one's fingers in one's mouth, ears or nose while in the temple. When one is compelled to do this, even outside the temple, one's hands must be washed immediately thereafter.
So these are all Brahminical habits. Brahminical habits. One time, His Holiness Bhaktivikasa Swami Maharaj had come to Pune. He was giving Bhagavatam class. So one devotee was sitting here in the class. He put his finger inside the mouth. Maharaj saw that immediately. Hey, Maharaj said, take out your fingers. He got frightened. He took out the finger and jumped up. He stood up. Maharaj said, go out, go wash and come. So he washed his hand and came back. Then he told him, sit down. So he sat and then Maharaj asked him, do you know why I told you? He said, I don't know, Maharaj, because Prabhupada told us also in the temple. When Prabhupada came once, he saw a devotee putting the finger and he told him, no. Actually, there are 9 holes in our body and all of them emanate very dirty substances. Like the nose emanates mucus. Throat emanates also mucus. From eyes also dirty substances come when you sleep at night and get up in the morning. Some things are formed near this thing. So impure things. One has to wash the eyes also. Similarly, in the ear you take out the wax, isn't it? Similarly, the bodily holes pass the urine and stool. It's actually the 9 holes emanate very dirty substances. So the body has to be cleaned. So even while worshipping the deity, the Brahminical standards are very high. For example, I am decorating Radha Krishna or Gauranitya deities. By mistake, I put my hand near the nose or in the eyes. Immediately we do the achaman. Take the achaman, you put it in the hand, it purifies it, and then you continue. Like that we do. That's what he is saying here. Brahminical habit means we don't touch any of the holes of the body when we are in the temple. And in case by mistake, if somebody is feeling itching in the ear, they put his finger and, you know, doing like this, or putting the finger in the nose or something like that, immediately they should go and wash the hand. I mean, that's the point, to keep oneself pure. Which means we have to keep our body pure, we have to keep the environment also pure, correct, no? Around us. For two reasons. One is our sattva-guna will be increased, that's advantage. We'll become very clean in all habits. That's one advantage. Another advantage, another reason is, it's a holy, holy place. We will be reminded always, oh, this is a holy place. Like somebody sometimes is putting his hand in the nose, he looks around, no one is there, then he puts on the wall like this. You have seen that? They put on the wall. So it's a very unclean habit. One shouldn't do that. Actually, if someone else is there, he may not do that. Correct, no? If no one is, therefore it is that character means what you are when no one is around you. That's the definition of character. Similarly, one should not sneeze here and there, one should not spit. Sometimes people eat this tobacco, they spit here and there everywhere. Of course, now our Swachh Bharat, our Prime Minister also has made very strict condition. If you spit, 500 rupees. If you spit anywhere, it's good only. So we not only want to become clean, but we want to become Krishna conscious. So somebody told Prabhupada, Swamiji, is cleanliness next to godliness? Prabhupada said, cleanliness is godliness. It's as important as that. So he said, therefore, if you are keeping clean, you keep the body clean, the place clean, then the goal of that cleanliness is to approach Krishna. Prabhupada said, Krishna and the spiritual world is like fire. If you have to enter fire, you need a fiery body. He is supremely pure. So the more you become pure, then you become eligible to enter the spiritual world. So how we become pure? First we become bodily pure. As we cultivate the bodily purity, gradually the mental purity will come. Also over a period of time. We will become very conscious. We will not want to do any dirty activity. And the height of dirty activity is illicit sex, which is called, which breaks the principle of cleanliness. Like Prabhupada used to say, man is good, woman is good, but when they come together, they become bad. Prabhupada says in one place. Of course, if they are devotees who are purely situated according to the instructions of the Guru, a man and woman can come together, marry, beget children and raise them in Krishna consciousness. But if they are not, then man's attraction for a woman, woman's attraction for a man makes them indulge in unclean habits. So therefore, we have to cultivate cleanliness in all aspects, in our body, in our speech, in our mind, in our dress, in our money, in the temple, all these places. Yeah, go ahead.
During their menstrual periods, Matajis may visit the temple, but they may not perform any item of deity worship like aarti, dressing, cooking, garlands, or any other work that requires their presence in the deity room or kitchen, or any work that is directly connected to the deities, example, stitching their clothes, etc.
Yeah, because all these things are tadiya, we call it, paraphernalia of the Lord. They're very, very pure. Like Krishna's dress, Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's bhoga that is offered to him, the bhoga offering plates, silver plates or the brass plates and all. And none of this they should touch and do any work in the temple. They should not do. Go ahead.
At this time, such Matajis should avoid being in physical contact with anyone who is or will be involved in the service of the deities.
Yeah.
They may attend Tulsi Puja, but may not offer water
like
to Tulsi Devi.
Keep it like that. Yes.
Under all circumstances, chanting on one's japa beads should continue. There can be no material impediment to the chanting of the holy name.
So they may say, okay, those 3 days I can skip chanting. No, Prabhupada says, chanting should go on. He says that, in those 3 days also. So chanting, there are no material impediments to calling the holy name. So one should continue chanting. Yeah.
As far as one's home is concerned, Mataji should try to maintain the above standard where possible. In some cases, it may not be practical and possible to do that, as there may be no one else available to do the cooking, etc. In such cases, Matajis may do the needful to fulfill their domestic obligations and at the same time also see that their household duties are taken care of. Other members of the family, as far as possible, should help in this regard.
For example, one of the devotees had asked me a question by email, whether Matajis in those 3-day period in a month, can they cook at home? In India, many of them know, in those 3 days, the women are asked to be in a separate room in the house. They don't come out also. They just stay away in those 3 days. And the husband cooks. And sometimes the sons and daughters also help. Then everybody joins and they cook and they manage those 3 days. But now the life has become very challenging. Husband has to go to office very early and he comes late at night. And the children have to run to school. So in such a situation, how cooking can be done? Maybe the husband can arrange something from the Govindas for 3 days. So there is a prasadam available for everybody. Or some devotees give dabba prasad or something like that. Or if the husband can arrange that his daughter or son are trained to cook when the lady is other than those 3 days, normal times, then they are trained to cook. Actually, it's the duty of every mother to train the daughter in cooking. Even when a girl is very little girl, I have seen when my sisters were very little, very small, they were trained by a mother to cook. They were there, their age was very young, but they would clean the house, I mean, clean the kitchen and wash the pots and cook. Everything was taught to them at a very, very early age. And even if one sister is cooking, even younger sister who is a kid, almost a kid, they will be cutting sabji, helping and all that. So it's a very good habit, it is. So children are taught, so that when the lady is in that menstrual period, 3 days away, then the daughters take care. Or even son can learn. Son, daughter, they all can learn to cook. That is ideal actually, if father cannot cook. In fact, they can make a dabba for the father and give him also. Because then he can offer fresh bhoga to Lord very nicely. But in some cases, there is only husband-wife, they have no children. Now the husband has to go to office, and night he comes late and morning he is unable to, you know, manage the cooking, or he doesn't know cooking sometimes at all. He has not learned, then what to do? Then a wife may cook. Then in that 3-day period, according to the scriptures, the women physically and emotionally, that period is, the body is not very stable for them. It's in that 3-day period. And it's a certain stage of uncleanliness, just like going to the graveyard and coming back is considered contaminated, isn't it? Like passing stool and coming is considered contaminated. Similarly, that 3-day period also is a little period of contamination where they are requested to keep away from the normal course of touching the other things and all, because there may be contamination. So, ideal standard is given. If ideal is not possible, then there is a second standard given also here. Therefore, he says here that other members of the family, as far as possible, should help in this regard, which means others should know that this 3-day period will come and they should be prepared for it. General behavior.
One should always remember that one is a devotee and is representing Guru and Krishna, whether in temple or at home, at work in the office or out on the street. One should conduct in a way that draws appreciation to Guru and Krishna and should avoid all conduct that will bring Guru and Krishna disrepute.
We should know that, you know, people judge an organization by the members' behavior. You know, what type of dress you wear. When I was first going out of India to London and then America, so I went to the London temple. So, when I went to London temple, there was Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu. They both are the presidents there. So, Prabhu had come to the airport to pick me up. And I was wearing an acupuncture chapel. You know acupuncture chapel? A simple one, slipper. Acupuncture slipper I was wearing. He looked at me up and down and said, "Radhesham, you are coming to London with acupuncture slipper? I am arranging some programs for you, some programs in companies and some programs at homes. You should wear very nice sandals. Don't worry, I will give you, he said. But I told him, no, no, Prabhu, I don't want anything very, very flashy. Huh? I want to wear something very simple. Therefore, I always wear. He said, that's all right. When you are in the temple, when you are going out, and then he told me, when you are going to company, you should wear neat sandals. They will not like you to be wearing some Hawaii chapel or simple slippers. So Prabhupada said, first dress and then address, he said. So the attire that you wear, your attitude may be good, but attire also is expected to be good. You should wear clean dress and you should wear proper sandals. Therefore here it is said that, you know, when we go out, we have to be conscious that we are representing Srila Prabhupada. That's very important. See, I am invited for an International Yoga Day, a very big gathering, say 1,000 people are coming. You know, I had to be clean shaved. Clean shaved and very well, neat looking when I am going for that. Why? Because I am representing Prabhupada. Representing ISKCON. People will say that ISKCON people are clean people. Isn't it? So, in this way, the way we look, the way we speak. Okay, till now I am telling about the dress and the external looks. So we say, no, first impression is the best impression. That is all right. But looking alone is not good enough. Prabhupada says, a fool is unexposed until he opens the mouth, he says. So, just like a sickly man is known by his symptoms. You know, he may be coughing, he may be feverish and all that. Similarly, a rich man is known by his symptoms. Like the type of car in which he comes, or the type of coat and suit he wears, or the type of food that he eats, or the type of circle of big shots with whom he meets with, isn't it? So you can assess who is a rich man, who is a poor man. Same way, you know, how can you know the quality of an individual? By hearing his speech. What is the content of his speech and what is his level of his speech, you can understand it. So, when we go to address in any assembly, for example, I'll tell you, say Sri Vaishnavas are holding a meeting, gathering, we are going there. We have to speak something which will not hurt their sentiments. One should be very careful. Say you go there and glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you say that our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to South India and he stayed in Venkatapatta's home and you know, he converted so many Sri Vaishnavas into, you know, great Gaudiya Vaishnavas. If you speak things like that, they will get put off. They'll get unhappy. So we can learn from Mahaprabhu himself how he respectfully dealt with Sri Vaishnavas. Therefore, even when you talk about global conferences and all, like I have been to some global conferences where different religious people come, where I meet Muslims, where I meet Christians. So we are right from the beginning taught by Anuttam Prabhu that we should not be in the mood to convert them to our path. Imagine if they try to convert you to Muslim path, you try to convert them to Hindu path. That would be a big fight, no? Isn't it? So therefore, we don't do that. We share something which is common to all religions. All religions say, accept God, align with God, act on behalf of God, don't commit sin, which is disobedience to God, serve God, try to please God, treat all God's children, you know, like your own brothers and sisters, and also, you know, take your quota and be satisfied. Don't be greedy, because other children of God also should get their lot. Don't usurp others' property. Treat everyone else's wife to be like your mother, and don't exploit other living entities. Don't be unnecessarily violent towards other creatures. So all the religions talk all these things. So when you meet other religious people, you can share these things which are all universal principles for all religions, rather than, you know, trying to talk in the... Therefore, our behavior will be watched by people, and in case we misbehave, first thing people will ask, whose disciple is this fellow? Which organization he belongs to? They will say. And in case you behave very well, like a first class gentleman, then people will ask the same question. Hey, whose disciple he is? Which organization he belongs to? They'll be amazed. And especially we are living in this age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means at the least expected moment there can be quarrel. So therefore we have to be very careful. One example I'll tell you. One very fine gentlemanly devotee everybody knows in ISKCON is His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. Recently he was telling us that he went to airport and he was waiting for the baggage claim in the airport, you know. The baggages will come in the conveyor belt. So he was waiting for it. And then when one of his suitcase came, he picked it up and put it down to check whether it is his. So there was another gentleman who was standing by the side, and immediately he shouted, he started saying, "Hey, why are you stealing my bag?" Like that he asked. Maharaj said, "I just want to check whether it is my bag or someone else's. If it would be someone else's, I will put it back. But mine looks like this," Maharaj was telling. And that fellow refused to accept it. He said, "I don't believe in what you are saying. I think you are trying to take this and go away," or something like that. Very harsh he spoke. And in the meantime, Maharaj's bag came in the baggage claim. Then he took it out. And when they put next to each other, they exactly looked the same. You know, both same color, same size, same handle, everything was same. Then that man's wife told him, "See, he's a saintly person. He is so soft-spoken. And you are yelling like hell. Huh? Everybody is looking at you. Huh? Are you not ashamed? Say sorry." You know, like that she behaved. And then that man understood that he is committing a mistake. So you can see how Maharaj, you know, even with a yelling man, he behaved very softly. So everybody around saw this person behaved like a swan, very well behaved and very attentive in his speech. The quality of speech is very important when we deal with people in the world around us. So therefore, we have to be careful how we speak, because eyes are watching us, thousands of eyes are watching us. How we conduct ourselves when we go out in the world, our movement is going to be appreciated or it is going to be spoken ill of, depending on how we deal with people. And also, when you come across people in the train and the flight and everything, you come across people who are not devotees. They don't know about ISKCON, they don't know about our activities, and they are likely to sometimes have misconceptions about ISKCON also. So we should not become overthrown by anger in our speech or behavior, because then they will, that actually makes them deaf to listen to what we want to say. So therefore, he's talking about, don't bring disrepute. Actually, disrepute can be brought in various ways. You can bring disrepute by bad behavior, bad speech, or by bad habits like stealing or cheating. One can bring disrepute to ISKCON. So all that disrepute should be avoided. Yeah. Go ahead.
Devotees should not wear expensive and flashy looking jewelry, wristwatches, etc. Jewelry for women must be worn with careful moderation, if at all. And men should preferably avoid all jewelry like gold chains, bracelets, etc.
Like sometimes man wears bracelets, isn't it? Or gold chains in the neck. Why people generally wear? Because they want to sometimes, make others understand that I come from a good family, rich family. They put a thin chain in the neck. Sometimes men wear. Now nowadays it's very risky also. If somebody looks at the gold chain, they look around, no one is there, chain snatchers. They'll put their hand in your neck and snatch it and go away. So nowadays many people are stealing things. One has to be very careful. Same with women too. If women are wearing very costly jewelry in the ears or in the neck, they may even cut and take also. Yeah, such people are there. So therefore, to wear gold, wear silver, nowadays it's not very safe in the modern times. So costly things are not very good to wear. Yeah, wristwatches. And that is one reason. One is a safety. Somebody who want to loot may damage our ears or damage this thing. Risk is involved of damage. But another reason why it is mentioned here is, Vaishnava means simplicity for oneself and opulence for Krishna. That is the principle. For Krishna, we may put very nice ornaments and very nice decorations, very colorful dresses. Radha and Krishna and Gaur Nithai, we put very colorful dresses, very nice frills, and make them look very, very attractive. Because they deserve such a kind of dressing, because they are the apple of eye of everybody in the spiritual world. So the whole universe, either material or spiritual, they all revolve around them only. They are the main central figurehead. So we can decorate them. Whatever best talents we have in decorating ourselves, we should decorate them. With that talent, we should do that. As far as we are concerned, we don't want to decorate ourselves too attractively. Unnecessarily, we will draw the attention of others. Especially members of the opposite sex, unnecessarily. Then one dresses too provocatively or too attractively. You unnecessarily earn disturbance. For example, a married woman, they dress very modestly. They go with the husband and child. Their body is properly covered. Their head is covered. So as soon as somebody looks at them, they feel like calling them Mataji, or mother. But unfortunately, in the modern time, some people don't like to be called as Mataji. They think, how he is calling me Mataji? I am a young girl. Okay, I am married and I have a small baby. But I am not a Mataji. They feel like that. Actually, Mataji is a very respectable word. In fact, even a little girl is called Mataji, you will see. One example I'll show you in Bhagavatam. See, this is our Swayambhava Manu is giving his daughter in marriage to Kardam Muni in the forest. And Kardam Muni says that if I marry her, once I give her a son, then I will again take sannyas and go away. And she also agrees for that. And then father and mother, Shatrupa and Swayambhava Manu hand over daughter in marriage to Kardam Muni. Before leaving, they give her a lot of gold and other things for her. Future savings and everything, they give ornaments and everything. And just before leaving, he is smelling the head of the daughter by embracing her. Here it says, Ashaknvam sadviraham munchan bashpakalam muhu asinchat ambavatseti netrodair duhituhu shikaha. See what it says here. Translation.
The emperor was unable to bear the separation of his daughter. Therefore, tears poured from his eyes again and again, drenching his daughter's head as he cried, "My dear mother, my dear daughter."
Amba, Vatsa. Two words he is using. Amba means mother. Amma, we say. Sometimes my father used to tell even his daughters, "Ma, Vama, Poma," like that he used to say. You heard that? How they say like that? Amma actually means mother. Even little girls or teenage girls are also called mother. It's not a... So even when brahmacharis go home to home to beg alms, Babadi Bhikshan Dehi, they call them as Mataji, mother. So Mataji is a very highly respectable word. In the Vedic life, women are given high esteem by calling them as a mother. Mother is actually treated with great warmth and respect, isn't it? But in the modern times, the women are portrayed very provocatively on the billboards. Practically every commodity that sells nowadays, they have a woman's picture. They are selling a car, they put a flashy looking woman. Everywhere they put like that. But Vedic life means high respect for them. So, I was telling that when women dress modestly, they draw respect. Prabhupada writes in one of the, I'll just show you one more purport, I'll show you. See here what is saying here. Yeah.
Translation. Out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord.
The Lord Krishna was leaving Hastinapur. That is a purport there. I read that.
Shyness is a particular extra natural beauty of the fair sex. and it demands
commands
and it commands respect from the opposite sex. The custom of separating females from males was observed even during the days of the Mahabharata, that is more than 5000 years ago. It is only the less intelligent persons, not well versed in the history of the world, who say that observance of separation of female from male is an introduction of the Mohammedan period in India. This incident from the Mahabharata period proves definitely that the ladies of the palace observed strict parda, restricted association with men. And instead of coming down in the open air where Lord Krishna and others were assembled, the ladies of the palace went up on the top of the palace and from there paid their respects to the Lord Krishna by showers of flowers.
It is definitely stated here that the ladies were smiling there on the top of the palace, checked by shyness.
This shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex, and it enhances their beauty and prestige. Even if they are of a less important family, or even if they are less attractive, we have practical experience of this fact. A sweeper woman commanded the respect of many respectable gentlemen simply by manifesting a lady's shyness. Half-legged ladies in the street do not command any respect, but a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all.
Yeah, you saw, no? He says that. So, he says even a sweeper woman who may not be very beautiful looking, nor does she belong to a very high level family. She is simply a scavenger. So, one scavenger was sweeping when 2-3 sages were coming on the road. Immediately she went to the side and they passed. So, her respectable conduct and behavior earned respect for her. Correct, no? On the other hand, purpose is half naked lady in the street. Do not command any respect from others. Rather, rowdies will be whistling. But a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all, he says. This is 1.10.16, Bhagavatam. So, therefore, devotee should not wear very expensive and flashy looking jewelry or wristwatches and all that he is saying. So, when we wear very flashy, unnecessarily we attract the eyes of mischievous elements. Correct, no? So, any of you want to be damaged by mischievous elements? So, we don't want. So, you want a peaceful life. So, simplicity is a very safe thing to execute. Yeah. Go ahead. Now, what happens now? People watch Hollywood, Bollywood movies. And they want to imitate the heroes and heroines. And women are also going to beauty parlor. Men are also going to beauty parlor. And they have 20 or 30 types of hairstyles. They make the body so much different than what it is. And put so many cosmetics and everything, scents and everything. So unnecessarily we disturb the other living entities. They also get disturbed and they may exploit us or they may create some headache for us. We invite headache by giving them headache. You give headache by heavy scent and then you invite headache. Then they exploit you. Correct, no? So therefore he is saying that if you are very clear, you have to go back to Godhead. A woman will nicely dress in the presence of her husband in the home. But when she is going out, she unnecessarily does not attract others' attention. In the same manner, men also, flashy looking jewelry, watches and gold frame, we don't actually unnecessarily attract. He's saying, keep it simple. Yeah.
As far as possible, devotees should avoid using any items made of leather, knowing them to be the result of animal slaughter. Unless unavoidable in one's service, one should refrain from wearing leather shoes. And also items like bags, wallets, watch straps, etc.
Yeah. So one more problem with wearing very flashy items or costly jewelry and all, it makes others envious also. Correct, no? See, when people see somebody very opulent, do they feel great respect for him or feel envy for him? Generally, people feel envy. Proper material world, everybody is envious. Unnecessarily, we create envy around. That's another reason. Devotee should be simple. That was one point. Here, one more point is that leather is actually an animal slaughter. Leather belt, leather shoes, leather purses, leather bags. So devotees should be very conscious. You have to check whether it is leather and you have to reject it. If it is leather, because there are heavy leather industries and they kill so many cows. There are also cars in which they use leather seats. So they use leather for making the soft seat. It's actually cow's skin. And if you know how they make these leather items, you will cry. Because the cow is tied, with all the four legs are tied tightly to the ground and they pour hot water. The body of the cow, and the cow screams and the cow dies. They say that when the cow is alive, immediately the hot water is poured and then the skin is removed. Then only it will be very soft. Otherwise, once the cow has died a normal death, and the thing becomes stiff, cloth becomes stiff. So there are many sinful activities going on in the name of using the leather products of animals. So one shouldn't use them. Because we are, similarly cosmetics also. Like if you use cosmetics to decorate ourselves, many of the cosmetics you will see, they test them in the eyes of rabbits, in the eyes of rats, in such kind of creatures. They put the cosmetics and the eye should be completely burned. Then it is perfect cosmetic. So in this way, they use them like a guinea pigs. Many of these animals and all. So one should avoid such kind of items.
Even and particularly, when one is criticized or offended, one should conduct oneself with dignity.
I gave the example of Maharaj, isn't it? He was like sort of criticized, and Maharaj actually... another example I'll tell you. I heard that one of the devotees living in north, you know, one day he had to really rush. It was very late to go to office. So he came out of a housing colony into the main road. So zoom, like that he came and joined. Another car also came in the main road going very fast. So when both the cars came, they were about to hit. Only 1 or 2 inches gap was there. This fellow came like this, this car came like this. Both put a sudden brake. So naturally the driver who was plying very fast in the road, what do you think he must have done? Generally the driver shouted the other driver, correct, no? He turned to this devotee and he shouted, "Akal hai kya?" Like that, you know, do you have any brain? You are driving like this. And devotee understood it was whose mistake? It was his mistake only. So he folded the palm and like that he bowed his head and said, "Sorry." When he lifted his head, he saw the car was only not there. Immediately he had gone, because that fellow understood, he is a humble fellow, you know, he is not giving any bad words back to me. So he went away immediately. Therefore we say, do haaton se taali bajta hai, we say, no? You know, if one hand becomes humble, goes away, then other hand has nothing to do. So that's what he is saying here. Even if sometimes we are offended or criticized, we can conduct ourselves with dignity, behave. Even if somebody is criticizing us, we can ask him, "Prabhu, please tell me, why are you so upset with me? What do you think I did wrong? I am ready to rectify myself. Feel free to tell me. I will get a paper and pen. You tell me, I will note down." If you say like that, immediately he will become humble. "No, no, Prabhu, it's not a big mistake, small thing." "No, no, still it is small, no problem. You still tell me." Correct, no? So you will find that our behavior affects the other people very positively. Instead, give respect, earn respect. Give love, receive love. But if you throw rudeness on others, then rudeness comes back also. It's like a ball thrown on the wall comes back to you. But sometimes you may say, "Prabhu, I am very polite, he is still very dominating, what to do?" There are people like that. Then we can keep a distance from such people. But as devotees, we can try our best to conduct ourselves with dignity. And if you can't handle the situation, you can postpone it. You can tell him that, "Prabhuji, I think right now your mood is not very pleasant. I think better we don't talk about it now. Another day, leisurely we can sit and talk or whatever." Go ahead.
While one may certainly take precautions against being cheated or take action where necessary, one should be careful to avoid picking up quarrels, indulging in useless argumentation, and so on.
Yeah. We are living in a world of cheaters and the cheated. Vanchita, like that he says, our Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. There are always people who are out there to cheat so many people in so many ways. Like sometimes you will get an email saying that, you know, you just reply to this mail, you will get 200 crores of rupees. They will say, and then you reply to them, and then they will tell you, you send some money, 5,000 rupees now, because we need to move this amount to your this thing, some money is required. Then they will, afterwards they will ask you for 10,000, they will ask you for 20,000, 50,000, and you may be thinking that even if you spend 1 lakh, no problem, anyway 200 crores is going to come, and that's never going to come. In this way they have looted so many people. So one should be careful not to get cheated. Sometimes you get cheated and then you become angry on the person who cheated you. Correct, no? For example, you put money in a private bank and the private bank went diwala. You become wild. But the first place, you put money in a private bank. So one has to be very careful where to invest money and where not to invest. One has to be careful. So sometimes, therefore, His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu used to say, my senior, the property of careless people is stolen by shameless people. Like that he used to say. So those people who are careless, their property will be stolen by shameless people who are thieves. Like one fellow kept his mobile on a berth in the train, and then he kept it for charging and went to washroom and came. When he came back, the train had started moving from the station. One fellow saw the train had stopped, you know. He saw this fellow was going to washroom. So he took the mobile and got down in the station and went away. So he was carelessly keeping the mobile for charging. It was 20,000 rupees mobile. And another fellow looted it. Although so many people were around, they didn't know that this fellow is looting. Correct, no? So why I am saying, and then this fellow was throwing tantrums, saying so many bad words, and you know, he couldn't find out the fellow. He was extremely disturbed, and he disturbed everybody around also. So he is saying example here, that, he is saying that we have to take precaution not to get cheated, but sometimes you may be cheated for a few thousand rupees or something like that. And then picking up quarrels, catching people's collar and slapping, especially if you are wearing tilak and kantimala. In a public place, imagine you catch somebody's collar and slap him. So people will think you are wrong or he is wrong. People will say that, hey, this fellow, this Hare Krishna fellow, is wearing tilak and he is beating, isn't it? Like one time, our devotees sometimes distribute the books in a particular place. The police comes and raises objections sometimes. There are also sometimes religious riots. There are also sometimes, you know, community social quarrels also sometimes. Certain areas may be allergic areas. If you, for example, you are going on Harinam. You are going on Harinam. Especially if you have to go through a road where there's a mosque, or there are many mosques there in that locality, you know, or there is a big church, prominent church, and then you go and put a table, like, you know, in Boston, every evening I used to go out for putting book table. So there's a church outside which there is a Copley Square. So we used to put the table there and do kirtan. And they would never complain. They had no problem. On one day in a week, I think Friday or so, they have a big program. They have a very big program where a lot of people will be coming to the church. So they requested us, on that day, you know, please kindly can you clear the place. A lot of our people will come on this day. So we moved to another spot. So whenever we would go, every Friday we would not come there. And they were very happy. We have good cooperation. Other days, they don't have much activity. So they told you can put, we have no issues. So it is always good to congenially solve the problem rather than, you know, creating allergic or any. Like if you are going in a locality where it's communal rights are possible, it's not a very good place. Better not to go there and jump up and down dancing and unnecessarily irritating them. You understand, no? So therefore, we are saying we can take precautions against being cheated by somebody, or we should not indulge in useless argumentation with people. If somebody says, we are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated even Chand Kazi also, so we will come to your area and dance. Is it really necessary to pick up a quarrel? No. So we don't want to unnecessarily enter into useless argumentation. There are so many other places to go and chant and dance, isn't it? So, in this way, a devotee of the Lord, you should be very conscious that I am Prabhupada's follower, I am ISKCON follower, and I am Krishna's devotee. And my speech, my behavior, my conduct is going to you know, bring good reputation or bad reputation to the moment. Go ahead.
A devotee must be particularly careful in dealings with the opposite sex.
Yeah, especially one has to be very careful in dealing with, men should be careful in dealing with women. Like husband and wife together can deal with a woman. Or if a woman has to talk to a man, she can keep her husband with her and tell the husband, Prabhu, can he call that particular Prabhu? You know, we want to ask him, they are giving training for children or something. Let us see what they are doing. Please call. If she tells the husband calls her teacher, Prabhuji. And then the Prabhuji comes and says, these are the things we are doing for children. It's a very wonderful thing because husband and wife are together sitting and learning from him. But imagine if a wife sends a WhatsApp message to that man, Prabhu, I heard that you are teaching children, you know, can you please share with me? And then this mata and that fellow is back and forth sharing. In the course of sharing, they go a little off track from the official talk. They get into personal talk or private talk or frivolous talk or becoming overly familiar. Then the problem starts. Correct, no? So there is a very simple rule, golden rule, that men, women can follow. If they are not married, unmarried boy, girl, they don't unnecessarily talk at all. There is no need. Men can dance with men's circle. Women are dancing in women's circle. Women take prasadam with women. Men take with men. We follow this norm in ISKCON temples. Even in London I saw, when lot of men and women come in a big crowd, and the authorities were announcing, all of you women please come to this side. All of you men please come to this side. They said, we follow these norms because men and women are compared to butter and fire principle. And we should respect that principle. Otherwise, if men and women loosely mixing have caused havoc in family life, it has led to divorces. It has led to severe quarrels of trust between husband, wives and all. So therefore he says here, woman should not cross the border. Similarly, man also should not cross the border. One should know his limits. Otherwise, too many WhatsApp exchanges and becoming familiar with somebody, it has caused a problem repeatedly. It has been observed in this world. So he is saying that, therefore in our ISKCON temples you will see, women make thick friendships with other women. Men make thick friendships with other men. And they all sit in a circle in their own gender and they spend time. Only if there is a need sometimes, a lady requires some mentoring or something, then husband wife can jointly tackle it. That's the standard here. Go ahead.
Srila Rupa Goswami says that a devotee must not be neglectful in ordinary dealings.
Otherwise, what happens? That's a great challenge. One real life situation I will tell you. For example, a husband and wife are very familiar with each other at their own home, isn't it? So, oftentimes there are loving exchanges, there are quarrels also. It happens. Correct, no? So, because of that, what happens, like once a husband and wife, they went to a program. The husband was so happy with the idlis. The idlis were like very soft. So, he told the host who cooked the idlis, he said, what an amazing soft idli, like jasmine flowers. I have never eaten such soft idlis in my life at all. And his wife was just behind him. And she was feeling. She was looking at him and then in the ear she told, you have never eaten at our home? You are talking as if you have never eaten good idlis in your life. So she became annoyed. When they went home, night she didn't speak anything. And next day morning, poor fellow got up. He asked, where is the breakfast? She said, I didn't cook any breakfast today. Because you don't like my idlis, you go to Govinda's and eat. She said, so husband understood that, she got offended. By this, I overly glorified others. So one Prabhuji was telling, if I have to appreciate any prasad, he said, this is the second best idlis I have seen in the whole world, he said. And the first best is reserved for the wife, was telling. So the idea is what? Sometimes because of clash between husband and wife, the wife reveals her mind to another man. And a man reveals his mind to another woman. And these are all complications in the modern day life. There are girls, ideally speaking, Vedic life, the girls are generally 9 or 10. In which they should marry, and the boys are generally 14 or 15. In fact, Prabhupada says his sister Bhavatarini, she became 12. And the mother became so worried, she was weeping. She told her husband, see, she is 12 now, if you are not going to get her married, I will enter into Ganges, she was telling. In those days, 12 was considered too late for a girl. But now girls are almost 27 or 28 or 30 nowadays. So it's not a very good situation of the society. The reason why they were early marriages were done, the hormones secreted in the teenage, and if the girl attains puberty and the boy is mature, they meet and they get children, then immediately the marriage happens, she knows I have a husband, and the husband knows I have a wife. Husband becomes responsible, girl becomes chaste, and the family is a peaceful family life. But now people marry at a very late age, and before that they have love affair and everything. So after the marriage, if the girl or boy is not satisfied, then they call their old friend. Hey, how is your family? My family is not very satisfactory. How are you? Is it good? And that is how the life becomes very complicated. So therefore, once we become devotees, we know that the whole outside world is going in a wrong direction. And in case one was also going in the wrong direction before, after becoming a devotee, one should stop all this nonsense. One should become a very faithful and sincere devotee, focused in Krishna consciousness. Therefore he says, be very careful in dealings with the opposite sex, because their psychologies are different. Men's psychology is different, women's psychology is different. It can lead to misunderstandings, quarrels. So one need not unnecessarily show affection to the members of opposite sex. Rather, one can befriend people of the same gender more. Yeah, go ahead.
Srila Rupa Goswami says that a devotee must not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. In other words, one should not give up basic courtesies and formalities, considering them to be mundane and oneself to be transcendental.
Yeah. He is saying, although devotees are supposed to be transcendental, in ordinary dealings also we can be very careful, he says. The basic courtesies and formalities should be followed. For example, you are going to somebody's house, you should first stay in the drawing room. Drawing room means as soon as you enter, there is a hall. You stand at the door and say, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. You say, and then they will naturally tell you, please come in, Prabhu. Here is a seat, please take the sofa, please sit. And then you follow the formalities, a proper code of conduct. But if somebody enters somebody's house and directly goes to the kitchen and takes something and eats, you are after all my friend only. So one has to be very careful in how one is dealing with other people. So there are proper formalities and courtesies to be followed. For example, the basic courtesies. People expect somebody to behave with them respectfully, politely. And people don't like to be criticized or given feedback without being asked. And if somebody becomes a self-appointed advisor and goes around giving advice, people don't like it. Somebody goes around giving feedback to everybody, people don't like it. Similarly, people don't like their confidential things to be publicized in front of everybody. People don't like. People say, hey Prabhu, I privately told you and you are telling everybody about it. I never thought you will go around telling everyone. They say like that. They don't like it. Because people are very sensitive. They'll get hurt. Therefore, he's saying that the basic courtesies and formalities, we should not think they are mundane. And I am transcendental to all that, he says. One should not think. So, like somebody may say, oh, I have a good relation with the devotee. You know, I can tell him on his face what he is doing wrong. No, you may think you have a relation, you give him feedback on the face, he becomes your enemy. You will see that. So what is the basic courtesy? While dealing with him, you can always say that, Prabhu, you are a wonderful devotee, you did this, this is very nice. At the same time, some devotees feel they want to say this to you, but they are uneasy. But they told me to tell you, I am nobody to tell you, I have no qualification. But still, because devotees requested, I am telling you. Nevertheless, still I agree, you are still a wonderful devotee. This one small thing I told you can kindly keep in mind. That's all. And he will say, no problem, Prabhu, thank you. So with courtesies you behave, then it will be well received. Without the proper courtesies. Therefore, the slokas in Bhagavatam are so important. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtya yena kena va sarvendriya upashantya cha tushyatya shujanardana. Like the verse says, be compassionate to all living entities. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtya. Always be satisfied. Don't be greedy to take things which belong to others. And sarvendriya upashantya cha. Keep your senses calm, cool, collected in service to Krishna. Let the senses not make many demands. So in this way, another verse I told you, Titikshaya karunaya maitriya chakila jantushu samatvena ca sarvatma bhagavan samprasidati. शांताः समदृशशुद्धाः सर्वभूतानुरञ्जनाः यान्त्यञ्जसा अच्युतपदम् अच्युतप्रियबान्धवाः. Devotees of the Lord are peaceful, they have no hankerings. And they are always equipoised. And they are pure-hearted. Sarva-bhutanu-ranjana. They always act in ways pleasing to other Vaishnavas. And they very easily go back to Godhead. Achyutapadam. And in order to associate with pure devotees there, he says. Similarly,
gunadikanmudam lipset anukrosham gunadamat maitrim samanadan vichen natapai rabibhuyate.
He says, people who are senior to you, respect them and be jolly to receive them. Don't be envious of them. People who are equal to you, don't brag about yourself to them, but befriend them. People who are junior to you, don't ridicule them or don't boss over them, but be compassionate to them and help them, guide them, instruct them. Like that is Narada tells Dhruva. So in this way, one can know the right behavior and courtesies and formalities to be followed. Yeah, just go ahead.
To touch someone with one's foot is offensive. If one has to walk past seated devotees in temple, for example, one should extend one's hand to indicate that one wishes to go by and they will move their knees to let one pass.
Yeah, you like see, you see here, in the picture you see here. By accident, if you touch the devotee's with your foot, immediately you should touch the devotee's body and touch to your head and you should say, I'm sorry, Prabhu. Immediately it nullifies the offense. You didn't intend to kick him with your feet, but unknowingly it happened, so you touch his body and do like this, then he will understand. Yeah. Now, what happened? This one? Okay. So we have finished today cleanliness and hygiene. Then we finished general behavior. So what is remaining is attending class, isn't it? Attending class, attending arati, and honoring Mahaprasadam Nirmalaya. Okay. And that, I think this is, let us see the syllabus, 1 minute. So, basics of Bhakti Yoga. Obeisances we completed, correct, no? Prasad, Tilak, we have completed. So I completed general behavior also, no? Cleanliness, isn't it? I think it was, it is coming here. No, here cleanliness and disciplined regulated life. Okay, attending class is coming in separate topic. So we will do it separately. What else we cover today? Cleanliness and another one? General behavior, okay. Obeisance of Prabhupada Tilak, hearing class and reading Prabhupada's books. Okay. So, I have to cover this one. Attending class will come in this topic. So, next week when we proceed ahead, we will do on this. Sankirtan. So, here also hearing class is there, isn't it? Hearing class and reading Prabhupada's books. So, I will say something about it. Along with that, I will cover this one, Sankirtan, Prabhupada book distribution, Harinam and preaching compassionate suffering souls. We'll do this in the next class, Sankirtan, okay? Srila Prabhupada ki. Some questions have come? Yeah. Vivek Prabhu is asking, how to get timetable or schedule of Rajasham Prabhu's live lectures so that I can attend the lecture? Where is it? It is in live.radeshamdas.com. You go there, regularly we keep updating it. live.radeshamdas.com. Sorry for not asking question regarding today's class. Why didn't you ask regarding today's class? Because otherwise there are so many questions which pile up, general questions, and people want to ask about today, they won't be able to ask. He's asking about patience, how to remain patient in our about Shraddha, how to be patient while cultivating our Shraddha. We don't know what is going to happen in the long run. Yeah, Utsahan, Nishchayat, Dhairyat. All the three are important. I'll be talking about it elaborately in the
nectar of instruction, when I come to that section, you can be patient till then. At least that much patience you can have. I'll talk about patience there. If a man and woman get married, within at least they have to wait for 1 year to get a child. One or 2 years, it takes time. Similarly, you know, you write a competitive exam, you have to wait for the results to come. Till then you have to be patient. In the same manner, if the LKG boy joins the school, he wants to become engineer, he has to wait 10-15 years, isn't it? He doesn't get a degree immediately. So we all need patience even in material life also. And similarly, you join a company as a GET, you want to become a team lead. Can you become immediately? It takes 5-6 years. And not only, there is no assurance whether they will make you team lead. It all depends on your contribution, your progress in the company and everything. So material world has uncertainty as well as time delay also. Both are there, even in material life. So in spiritual life, you need patience surely. Ajit was asking, which direction is better to do chanting or worship? Doing chanting or worship facing south direction is allowed. Whichever direction you are able to chant properly by hearing, you can chant. See, these are more important for karmakandis. The karmakandis are very simple. Facing the north, you have to sit. Facing south, you have to do. In our chanting, tatrarpita niyamita smaraneena kala. You know, if facing north helps you to chant well, chant. Basically, you should be able to hear the Mahamantra well, and that is the most important thing. While chanting, sometimes for a few seconds, I don't focus on chanting, but I do remember the form of Krishna and imagining me serving Krishna. So, am I distracting from chanting? Okay, if you want to do that before starting chanting, you can do that. But once you get into chanting, try to hear attentively. Chitranjan Prabhu is asking, from Odisha, before the age of 20, I was not suffering very much, being attached with the material world. But after then onwards, I came to know that I also feel it's painful. So one day I said to my father to give me 1 year to know, could I be happy in brahmachari life with Krishna consciousness, as he is devotee of Lord Krishna. But he refused me to go on this line. What can I do by which my father will give permission? Oh, it's wonderful that you asked your father honestly. Then you can do one thing, Chitranjan Prabhu, you are in Odisha now. You can stay in a student center where you get brahmachari training, but along with that you earn a degree also in the college. So we call it as a Jet Age Gurukul, we call it. Morning, evening you will get nice devotee training. And daytime you can go to college. I don't know which place you are staying. If you write a mail to me, I will connect you to devotees in Odisha. We have in Rourkela, we have in Burla and Barampur also, correct, no? Also Bhuvaneshwar also we have. I don't know where you are placed, so I can connect you to devotees and they will make sure that you are also earning your degree. Along with that you take training, then your father may not mind it. Sneha Mathis is asking, after coming to Krishna consciousness, my lifestyle is becoming more sattvic. I wake up in Brahma Muhurt and chant 16 rounds in morning time, eating in limits, etc. But my partner is not comfortable with sudden change in me, as not able to do the same and demotivated sometimes. What should I do in this case? Should I come down? Okay. You see, when you are single, then only you have to worry about your mind only. Our own mind and our own body we have to worry. But when a person is having a family, husband, wife, like that boy in Odisha was asking, he wants to take brahmachari training but the father doesn't want him, because we are all connected in relationship, like father and son relationship is there, you know. Similarly, husband wife relationship is there. In relationships, when the partner is not happy and he finds that now your husband may be feeling that you are going too fast in spiritual life and he is left behind and he is not very comfortable, so definitely you have to make some adjustment. Most important thing, I'll tell you, you have to find out how you can serve him in such a way that he is pleased. And then you, the balanced time, you have time for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Like one example, I'll tell you, one Mataji, you know, she would rise early in the morning and she would be chanting and the husband will get irritated. He will say that, why didn't you cook first, you know, so that last minute you don't rush through. She will say, no, at least I want to chant 8 rounds first before I cook, or she runs to temple for the morning program. Then the husband feels that you don't care for us, you care about Krishna only always. So we have to find out how to pacify the family members, mother-in-law, father-in-law, husband, children. So all are happy that they are taken good care. Along with that, one should know how to combine devotional life, spiritual life. Yeah. So therefore, frankly, talking and understanding the need and accordingly fulfilling will help, surely. So I think it's Bangalore only, no? Is it Sneha Mataji is Bangalore, is written BLR? BLR is Bangalore, huh? Bangalore only? Okay, if it is Bangalore, there are devotees in all the three temples, very nice devotees, SJM temple and South Bangalore ICC temple, SNGM temple. You could meet some senior Mataji and ask her how you can balance. They can guide you. Be people who have spent 20 years in Krishna consciousness, you know, they can share with you how to do that effectively. So take help, or if you want help, if you go to our live.radhashyam.com, we have put 2-3 ladies who are mentors. Request for a mentor. So they can guide you on how you can deal with family members and they keep them happy besides advancing in your Krishna consciousness. Okay? Anirudh was asking, what is the difference between Sita and Maya Sita? Is Maya Sita a form of Goddess Durga? Actually, Maya Sita is Vedavati. Vedavati, in her previous life, she was sitting and meditating, and Ravana came and troubled her. Yeah? He tried to pull her hair. So when she saw that, hey, you are creating trouble for me, you are a lusty rogue, and then she actually told him that, I will become the cause of your death. Like that she says. So this Vedavati also had a desire to marry the Supreme Lord. She had a desire also. But now when she became Maya Sita, she was the one, Maya Sita, who wanted to actually go to Lanka and become the cause of Ravana's death. And later on, this she becomes Padmavati, I think. And then she marries Lord Narayana later on. She gets an opportunity to marry the next life. And I don't know what is her name at the time. I can just find out. Yeah. And Srinivas Prabhu is asking, what is the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti? Yeah, Vaidhi Bhakti means Vidhi. From that the word comes, Vaidhi Bhakti. Vidhi means Guru tells you, or your seniors are telling you, wake up in the morning, chant. You fulfill that order, although it may not be very pleasant for you. It's a little painful, but still you do it as a duty. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means you have advanced so much that out of love you do things. For example, out of love you get up in the morning, out of love you dance, out of love you serve the deities, you do seva, loving devotional service. That is Raganuga Bhakti. Nobody needs to tell you, Prabhu, can you do the seva? You go and ask, Prabhuji, how can I serve? So Raganuga is a very advanced stage. First one has to go through the Vaidhi Bhakti. We all are Vaidhi Bhaktas. Vrijabhasis, they have spontaneous love for Krishna. So such devotees are called Raganuga Bhaktas. If you want to know more, you can hear the Bhavataranga lectures. Our Bhavataranga lectures are available in live.radhashyamdas.com. Yeah, Bhavataranga is Nectar of Devotion. There I am speaking in the beginning, 2-3 lectures. You will get a clear picture. Prasanjit Prabhu is asking, at home can we offer ginger water and other Ayurvedic medicines to the Lord? Also, can we use Tulsi Maharani leaves in Kada as directed by the Ayush Mantralaya? Is it not offensive to use products like soaps containing Tulsi Maharani leaves? Yeah, they see Tulsi only as a medicinal item. Correct, no? Those people who see. But we see Tulsi Manjari as a great manager of the spiritual world, Prinda Devi, one who is organizing. Actually, if you offering these things to the Lord is perfectly all right. Ginger water and other things you can offer to the Lord and take it. And tulsi leaf can be added in kada if it is, if doctor says it's of medicinal value, you want to, you take it, it's good, you can take it, no problem. And you can use, like you are using a soap because it has Tulsi Maharani's leaves are there, okay. And you also, as a devotee, you remember, Tulsi Maharani, you are the supreme organizer of services for Krishna, please bless me. With that consciousness you do. Kumar was asking, what is the blueprint, Prabhupada appreciation, we all have to follow? You were speaking today morning at Kunjabihari temple. How can I get it? Prabhupada's blueprint means, see, what is the blueprint? For example, you want to make a house. So then you call the engineer and tell him, please make a blueprint for making the house. Then he will ask you, what do you want in the house? You will say, I want a kitchen, I want this, so many things you say. You just give him idea, and then what he will do? He will make a picture on the, you know, aerial view, and then the side view, elevation, plan, we call it. He will make all that blueprint. Then based on that, the engineers will construct the house for you. Correct, no? Similarly, for ISKCON, what is the blueprint Prabhupada has given? The morning program. Devotee should attend, you know, the whole morning program. Mangalarti, Narasimharti, Tulsiharti, and chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles, attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. And Prabhupada wanted us to go out and distribute his books, and also do Harinam Sankirtan. And he wanted us to expand preaching, and cultivate people into Krishna's devotees, and teach some Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, these kind of books, and make them understand the philosophy in a very simple way, inspire them to hear Prabhupada's lectures and follow. So these are things which Prabhupada has given blueprint for our society I was telling. So if you want to know, you just read Prabhupada's books regularly. You will very soon, you are in Warangal only, and you can meet Hare Krishnananda Prabhu. If you are connected to congregation, you can meet Hare Krishnananda Prabhu. If you are studying in NIT Warangal, there are two devotees who are preaching Shadabhuji Gauranga Prabhu and Sakshi Achyuta Prabhu. They have two centers and they are nearby. You will be able to connect and take help. If you write a mail to me, I'll connect you if you wish. voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. If you write, I'll connect you to either congregation or preachers, whomever you want. And then they will give you more idea. You can take regular training. Srinivas Prabhu, last two questions, I think. Can one chant Gayatri Mantra thinking about Krishna and one has to think about Gayatri Mata only? As in Bhagavata, Lord mentions that among the meters, I am the Gayatri. I have undergone sacred ceremony when I was 8 years old from a Purohit in the temple where I was given the mantra to chant as Brahma, Brahmins, Kshatriyas have to do the rest of the life. Yeah. Actually, the meaning of the Gayatri is even when Bharat Maharaj was chanting Gayatri Mantra, he was meditating on Surya Narayana. The Narayana Lord who is giving Shakti to Surya. So he was meditating on that Lord only, Rigveda Mantra when he was chanting and Gayatri when he was chanting. So actually the origin of all the Shaktis is Krishna or Narayana. You can think of him when you are chanting, perfect. And the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra is, oh Lord, I am in darkness, lead kindly light. That's the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. Last question. Rajeshita Prabhu, how can we contribute for Krishna Janmashtami this year? What celebrations are planned this time? We have a plan actually to inspire 1,000 congregation devotees to celebrate Janmashtami in their homes and make some video clip and they will send us. And then we will make a collection of the best of the video clips and we will publish it. That's a plan we have in Pune. And you are in Bangalore. Bangalore temple also will have some very good plans. You can ask the local temple. Apart from that, we will have lectures and kirtans and many things will be there. Yeah. Last question, Daivi Radhika Mataji. Can we chant during morning Mangalarati program? When Mangalarati is happening? You can chant. If you are living in the temple, then it is best that you attend Mangalarati and then chant. If you are living in a home outside and you don't have enough time, in the morning you have to go to office at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you have to go. Then even during the Mangalarati you have to chant. Then when you are going in the bus, you can sing Mangalarati. So then you can give priority to chanting if you have to go to office early. Otherwise, if you have time till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, then you can attend Mangalarati and then chant. That's better. Srila Prabhupada ki.